0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point in a rare quiet midweek across Scottish football. Still stories doing the rounds. Kasper Schmeichel out of nowhere reveals he might have played his last ever game and certainly looks like his season is over for the Celtic goalkeeper. Rangers reportedly interested in Motherwell's Elijah just ahead of the summer window, and we're only a couple of days away from a potentially decisive game at the top of the Championship. And with that in mind, we've invited them back. It is Alex Ray and Tony Watt. And the big news, forget all those headlines, forget that dramatic weekend, forget the Scotland squad, your injury has not been anywhere near the back page. It's not got anywhere near the attention it deserves. Is it true that you've pulled your hamstring in a violent game of Beat the Pundit?
Yes, I was expecting a violin when I walked in, so I could feel sorry for myself a little bit more. But look, for every negative there's a positive, and that positive would be getting flipped for the coin for Beat the Pundit tonight. Actually, I spoke to a Beat the Pundit legend on the phone today. I got a phone call from Mr. Hanna.
He's the only Beat the Pundit legend, I would say.
I said to him, I said, I'm coming for your record, and he went quiet, and I said, I've only got 250 more wins, and he burst out laughing. So I seen him
about a weekend St. John's.
What is this?
I said,
old man body breaking down.
Yes.
What are you putting it down to in the coaching staff?
Personally, I think his balls crashed. He was going into the penultimate part of the season.
And
it's clearly a blow for us. And but as Tony says, we need to be positive. We've got a really good group of boys, an opportunity for someone to come in and showcase what they can do. And I think it's going to be a great advertisement for the Championship on Friday night.
Yeah, playing St. Johnstone. Does this test you, this stuff? Do you ever get used to this, you and Mark, because quite a few injuries, if you're being honest about it, you know, is that... How do you find that balance between trying to be philosophical and saying it's a chance for somebody, which it is, but also just feeling a bit annoyed about
it? No, listen, it came at the worst possible time for us. That's the reality of it all. However, we are relatively positive. And what the one thing we don't want to do is kind of drag it down, get into a big game. We want to be as positive as we can. We've kind of been like that. And it's great. You know, we've obviously got guys running about the training ground, hobbling all over the place, but they're involved. They're collecting balls on the side of the pitch and things. So there's a real good spread there, so hopefully we can take that into Friday night.
What's the time frame?
6 to 8 weeks, I think. Hopefully 6.
Where does that take us up to? You'll be back in time for the playoffs?
Hopefully we're not there, but yeah, well, middle of March. Middle of May, sorry.
Back for the open top bus if you win the league.
The season finishes 6 weeks this Friday. That I'm counting.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Right, 8 weeks is going to be no use for
He had a full set of hair last week and he's pulled it all out. I think we've had a bit of a frustrating week, but look, there's no point in making excuses like anything in life. It's we got on with it, we soldier on, and we'll just float about each other.
Let's do it. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So come on down, let us know what you're thinking. If you do have any words of advice for Tony Watt or Alex Ray or the Championship title race, we're more than welcome to get those in as well. What about that big news last night? You know, you get that way where it is a semi-quiet midweek, and then out of nowhere, late last night, Kasper Schmeichel pops up on CBS broadcasting network out doing some Champions League stuff and just reveals that he's torn his bicep rotator cuff labrum. Didn't know what that was. And dislocated his shoulder. Everything's kind of gone. It looks like 10 to 12 months of rehab. I could have potentially played my last ever game. So quite an interesting communication strategy. I wonder if Martin O'Neill and everyone at Celtic knew he was going to say that and reveal it. But it feels like quite big news, because there's a lot of folk, obviously us included, debating about whether he should have been dropped anyway, and Sinisalo coming in, and does he stay in? And let's be honest, we're all quite cynical, talking about had he taken the huff, is that why he's not been in the bench and all the rest of it? And then this comes out. So Celtic fans, I wonder what your reaction was to that when you saw it, because it's certainly not, even if he is out of form, I don't think anyone would have wanted it to end like that. Is that a blow between now and the end of the season, not having the option? Or are you comfortable that Sinisalo can handle it on his own? And how did it get to this? Because he's obviously played a little bit through some of that, you would imagine, for it to be as serious as it is. So give us all your thoughts there on hearing that news. 0141 951 1025. My ML1 natives won't like the troublemaking element of transfer rumours at this stage of the season, but I noticed Elijah Just, I think the Daily Record and others, suggesting that he would be on Rangers radar. Rangers fans, is that one you would be in favour of? Is that one that you could see fitting in? Motherwell fans, I'm going to guess you're not in favour and want to keep him, or indeed sell him elsewhere for a big fee. So your thoughts there, please. And anything else at all, 0141 951 1025. I like these quiet midweeks. I feel like we're not used to them. We had a really busy period there, and just bring it on, get the title race back up and running.
Yeah, we were lucky last week. I think it was when Stephen Robinson got announced as Aberdeen manager, and then it was just a fallout for the old firm game. But no, with the one you mentioned about the boy Just, watching Rangers at the weekend, I think they lack a little bit of quality in behind the striker, and I think he could probably be the guy that kind of mixes it all together. And I know the Motherwell fans won't be happy with me suggesting that, but I think Rangers at the moment are probably solid defensively. They've got a wee bit of steel in midfield, maybe lack a little bit creatively, and I think he can play off the right or in the middle in the 10. And I think he would be a player that Rangers probably need his position. Somebody that can just put his foot in the ball and maybe 20, 25 yards out and thread a pass and get people in good areas. And I think he's one that Rangers could do with now at the end of the season, not even next season, because they lack that, and I don't really feel what they've got that in the building at the moment.
No, I agree. I think when you watch Rangers, they're obviously going with the 4-4-2, but it'd be, if you decide to take Nadiri off, it'd be nice to get somebody to link it between that line and somebody to draw out the opposition. And we've seen over the course of this season, he's been a revelation, the boy. I think he's been really impressive, as is a lot of the Motherwell players. He just seems to have a little bit of quality that a lot of teams don't have. And I can totally understand if that that rumour was has some substance behind it.
Well, that's one. Rangers fans, Motherwell fans, you can wade in on right now, please. 01419511025. Tony actually inspired me there by reminding us about last week. Where are you now, St Mirren fans? Because it all came about a bit quickly last week. Obviously, Stephen Robinson going, you had the game against Rangers to prepare for. How are you feeling now in terms of getting a bit anxious, wanting the new manager in? Who do you want that manager to be? I feel like we've not really had the chance to explore that fully on the show, because we were really focused on the Stephen Robinson bit of all that story, and then it went straight on to the weekend. We had the big game, so maybe that's one that we could get our teeth stuck into tonight as well, since we've got a slightly quieter midweek. So St Mirren fans, I'd love to hear you get your wish list in. Tell us who you want the next manager to be and how you see that playing out. 01419511025. We'll try and get these two to make sure they're focused and not distracted by Barcelona Newcastle. That's a very good game on the TV at the moment. 23 minutes gone and it's 2-1 Barca already.
The goals were brilliant as well, weren't they?
All about Scottish football on here, don't you worry about that. You strike me as the type of man that stays up late and flicks through social media, much like myself. Do you see that Kasper Schmeichel thing pop up late last night? That I like surprise you, even just the scale of the news and the way it came out.
There's three parts to it for me when you were talking about it. The first one was, let Celtic announce your injury, because what's went on with him at the club, it's almost as if it's him against the fans at the moment, and even if he's bowing out, it feels like he's bowing out rebellious. Two, the fact that not really much fuss is getting made about it shows how poor his performance as well, which, and then the third part, he's obviously been injured, which you've got a little bit of sympathy for him. He's playing through the injury, but he's probably killed himself a little bit by coming out and doing the interview and maybe playing through the injury and not just being open about it before. I feel like he's a good goalkeeper. He was a good fit for Celtic, and somehow it was very similar to the Joe Hart one, but if you kind of compare the both endings, they both, Joe Hart's probably a cult hero at the moment, and Kasper Schmeichel's probably number one villain towards the fans.
Let's bring in John, who can elaborate. We'll obviously get Alex's thoughts as well. John, that made you call tonight. So what did you make of that when you heard the news about Kasper Schmeichel?
Well, I've been talking to yourselves now for just before the new year for the signings, and I wanted, my point was that Schmeichel wasn't good enough, and at least give Sinisalo a chance of signing somebody. So I was told by some of your pundits, no, that's too much a call to try and get a keeper, blah, blah, blah. And as you know, he's been trying to save goals with his right hand rather than his left. Now, I've had a rotating cough. I had fallen down the stairs with a few other injuries, and it's pretty painful. If you can put your arm out straight and that's about it. You can't move it to the side and you can't scratch your back, basically. So basically knackered.
If you can't,
sounds scrap, terrible, doesn't it?
Try to save long range shots, must be murder, yeah, if you can't even scratch your back. So, what, John, when you spoke, what do you make of the way this has come out and stuff? And then,
I'm just saying, has he been kidding Martin on about regarding his injury? Because he shouldn't have been playing. It was obvious he shouldn't have been playing. So I think maybe he's just kidding Martin on and, sorry, I can play, I can play. And some of our fellow Celtic supporters could see that Schmeichel wasn't up for it, you know. And so I'm assuming he was hoodwinking Martin.
Tough one, Alex. You don't want to like accuse him of, because you can flip that another way and saying he's then trying his best, you know, to play through the pain or whatever. And but there is something a bit weird about it all. I think we would sort of admit that. I think he said, did he say he dislocated it 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And he was focused on getting back for Denmark. He's got a World Cup at the end. So
listen,
I can see why Celtic fans are a bit miffed by it all.
Yeah, listen, I would be really surprised if the Celtic medical team were not aware of that injury, because I think it's common knowledge that his shoulder was getting gyp prior to this announcement. So I think that would have been an ongoing thing. And
can't have, I mean, I'm not a physio, but they can't have realised the extent of all that.
No, but they might have actually, so obviously they might have been, because there's two, it's twofold, isn't it?
Because he said he got an injection at the weekend, didn't he, Martin O'Neill, I think.
Yeah, so they may well have thought they could manage it, Gordon, and maybe try and get him through to the end of the season, but clearly that's not been the case. He's clearly went to see a specialist and they thought, right, okay, this could be a long time. Listen, without preempting, and I don't know what his decision is going to be, I think 9 months to 12 months rehab at his stage of his career could be a bridge too far. But listen, it's his decision. I think Sinisalo's come in and done really well. I think he's settled down the back line. You know, he's made some decent saves. And I've still got young Ross Doolan, you know, as a stand-in there. So I think over the piece, they'll be relatively comfortable that Sinisalo's come in and done really well. But obviously, if something happens to him, then you're going down the pecking order.
He didn't really, like I say, it was just all a bit odd. I'm not trying to make a massive point of this, but he didn't really mention, didn't mention Celtic or anything in his piece as well. I just thought it was all a bit, maybe it's just because you don't expect it. Look, you sign a player of a certain profile, a certain experience, he's going to pop up on big TV networks, and you know, it was just different from what you usually.
I agree with what you're saying. I think if the high profile errors never happened, and Sinisalo going in goals probably caused all this to happen, I don't think Kasper Schmeichel seems the type to be a number two, and I think he was probably playing through the pain. It hindered him a little bit, and then when the choice became number two, then I feel like he probably felt it's time for surgery. It's probably time for to fix himself. And look, fair play to him, he's been playing through pain. He'll probably be in a stage where he can't get past it now, and it's just sad the way it's ended. He won't play another game for Celtic, and what, one of his last games he was getting booed off by his own supporters. Like a guy of his calibre shouldn't have let it get to that. But you've got to remember, he's had a lot of good games as well. I remember that he was under the cosh and he came out against Falkirk and probably won the 3 points himself. So it's a sad way to end, but Sinisalo's a good enough deputy for me.
Is that a shame the way it's ended, John? Because he's clearly not, you're not his biggest fan, and I know he's not been in good form, but I mean, over the, I don't want to rewrite history too much. We had loads of calls, loads of tweets when he signed in his first season, saying he was an upgrade in Joe Hart and much better with his feet and all that sort of stuff. Is that a shame the way it's ended?
That's a shame, but just so happens it was the old boys act. You know, Brendan got him in because he played with him at Leicester and he did do a good job. But just before, about November time, I noticed that he wasn't playing that great. So that's why I come up on the line and saying, listen, I think we need a new keeper. And I don't know if you remember me, Gordon, I was eye on about Maswanisi. But I'm saying we definitely need a new keeper. And I was sort of shouted down, like, no, you don't need a new, certainly not at this time of year, blah, blah, blah. And as your pundits are saying, yeah, definitely, it's been playing through the pain barrier. But in doing that and being as nice as he is, he's cost us points. We already lost 12 points thanks to Wilfred Nancy. So I'll be surprised if we actually win this league, because I said before, if we do, it'll be a miracle. But yeah, I'm sorry it's ended this way for him. I just wish he would have come out with us before, because I know, as I said, I've suffered it, and it took me well over a year to bend my shoulder. It's actually, it's right on your shoulder, top of your arm. It's like a joint. It means you can move your arm out and back and all that, but if he's got a rotating cuff injury, that's what it is. He'll not be able to bend his arm.
You scratching your back now, John? That's more importantly.
Cannot ask for fairer than this. A man with medical insight into what Kasper Schmeichel is going through. Has it, in a sort of immediate potential panic or whatever, or negativity that you would normally feel when a big player's season is over, is that smoothed over by the fact that Sinisalo has come in and done quite well? I think if people had a choice, if Kasper Schmeichel was fully fit, people probably wouldn't want him to play right now anyway. Is that
I think the general consensus with the Celtic fans was that they wanted to see this lad get a chance. And as I said, I think Sinisalo's coming in. More importantly, when you listen to some of the players, they talk and go, we love that he comes for things and he's aggressive in what he does. So I think over the piece, I think the Celtic following will be relatively happy with the saw so far.
Thank you to John. You rest up, John. No more injuries for you. Let's bring in Howard on the other line. What was your reaction when you heard that news, Howard? Like we said, it was a bit of a surprise the way it came about.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. But do you know something? You wish him all the best. Whatever the circumstances, you wish him all the best. He's been good for us, more so last season, and we've got a great deputy in Sinisalo. So I just want to wish him all the best, really.
Did you always think Sinisalo could come in and do this, or is he impressed, like surprised you a bit in the way that he's handled it recently?
I always felt he was ready, and a lot of people were saying the same, you know, that they felt he deserved his chance, and he's taken it. And even when he did come in, he never let Celtic down at all. So I think we found a new number one, and good luck to Sinisalo, because, like I say, you feel sorry for Schmeichel, but all the Celtic fans, I think, are glad that they've got somebody in that's capable of doing a good job.
Because sometimes number two goalies, they do become better when they don't play. Mm. And I'm not necessarily making that specific here, but you know that way, if the number one's making mistakes, everybody thinks the number two is great. Yeah. And they've not really seen much. How's he stood up to it for you?
I think he's done well. I think the cup game, I thought he was really good. Other than the two centre halves, I thought he was probably the best performer on the pitch. And I think he's more than capable. I think he's young also, which helps him, and he'll grow with games. And he's come into a sticky kind of Celtic team and done well. He's passed the test so far. So look, give him to the end of the season and see how he gets on. And he was signed for a reason, obviously. Was he not Aston Villa's youth team? So I think he comes for a pedigree as well. So
that's why he's got that Brummie accent. heard him speak.
No.
He's just obviously Finnish, but he sounds like he's in the Peaky Blinders.
Peter Lovenkrantz, he's got that.
He's got the Glasgow accent. But honestly, Sinisalo, I love it every time. I just think it's like something straight off the
Peaky
Blinders. But anyway, that's probably not that important a point now that I think about it. Howard, what else is on your mind?
Basically, I've been on many times, Gordon, about complaining about the Celtic board, and I think they owe the Celtic fans big time. I don't know if they listen to the show.
Oh, they must. They do, everybody does.
Well, if they do, I would say this. Please go onto YouTube, Cy Ferry, and, you know, done an interview.
You don't want him to be the Celtic manager, are you?
And honestly, it's probably one of the best hours I've ever watched. Anybody that thinks Motherwell to Celtic, too big a jump, the Celtic board must go for this guy. He's composed, articulate, knows what he wants, hard-working, and I was at the game at the weekend, and, you know, it's as if Motherwell had an extra player. So I would say to the Celtic board, if you want to make it up to everybody and what you've been, the way you've been running the club, I beg them to go and get this guy, because I think this guy is special.
He showed at the weekend he couldn't win there. He's no good enough. Better leaving him leaving him where he is. I'm not saying anything in this.
I think he's more than capable. I think he's shown with the budget. And by the way, people are forgetting how low Motherwell's budget is because how much they've competed this year. And even like the transformation we...
Says a man who's had a couple of Motherwell contracts, eh?
Well,
Alex Ray,
that's it. Played for the love of the game. And no, even the thing that strikes me is the club's in such a healthier position, because we were speaking before, like, what money do they generate for these transfer fees? Because I know Lennon Miller and David Turnbull went for big money. They're different because they're generational talents in terms of coming through. But now they're signing players, and players worth millions of pounds, which hasn't happened for years at Motherwell and other clubs in this league probably. And when he leaves Motherwell and sells a few players, Motherwell will go to be in a lot better position than when he came in. And that, for me, is the marquee a kind of Celtic and Rangers manager, because you need to improve the club. You can't just come in and make it worse like a few of them have this season.
He's actually, his win rate's really good as well. I think it's just over 50% for a Motherwell manager, you know, and the style, the brand. I think the way, I think Howard makes a very valid point there in terms of the way he carries himself. There's a real belief. And I think if you're a manager and you're selling something to players, because players, you know what they're like, see if they don't buy into early doors, you're firefighting. So I think the fact that he's got, and I mean this with the greatest respect, journeymen playing the best football of their careers is a remarkable achievement. And whoever comes up against him post-split, I think you're looking, going, ooh, this is going to be really interesting. And it's been a really long time since we actually say that about a Motherwell mm-hmm. team because of the brand.
And that is clearly what is catching the eye, Tony. I've never wanted to go overboard. Football is about winning games. Celtic won that game at the weekend and Motherwell didn't, right? So you can't go too far, but at the same time,
there's ways to lose it.
It's not, this is, it's, how long have we all watched these games? When do teams like Motherwell go to Celtic Park and have more possession? It just doesn't happen. No. And again, I accept they didn't win the game, but even within that, you couldn't do that if you tried normally in all the years we've usually seen it.
Well, you'll have seen a lot of games we played in against Celtic and Rangers, and I've been to Celtic Park and I'm guessing you touch the ball 10 times maybe. It's,
that was one of your better games.
That's what I mean. That was one of my good ones. It's better. I don't touch it at Celtic Park and you're getting beat 4-5-0 and it's not enjoyable. It's not, but that Motherwell team looks really enjoyable to play in. Even whenever they're playing against the smaller teams, whenever they're playing against the bigger teams, it doesn't seem to faze them. It feels as if they've got a style of play, and it's not, a lot of managers try and pass out for the back with no conviction, no real place to go. There's always somewhere for them to go. It's exciting. The brand of football is good. They've got good players. He's improving everybody. And I actually thought Steve Clark's comments were a wee bit harsh the other day. They are a good team, but I do think they've got really good individuals in the middle. I think like your man Elliot Watt, Fadinga, Josh, Slattery, Mazwanisi, attacking options, they are all exciting players and they've all done really well this year.
Thank you, Howard. 0141 951 1025. Good time to jump on board. We will speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray is here, so is Tony Watt. They're even more gripped on this Barcelona Newcastle game.
We're
than
not
they
watching
were.
It.
Then they, I'm going to get that turned off. Get whatever else is on at this time. STV News at 6 on and get their minds back to the football. Thomas is in Denison. How's it going, Thomas? Oh,
Thomas. Guys, how's it going? Nice to meet you all for a first time caller.
Did you hear that? How excited Alex is just because somebody's from Denison?
Yeah.
The Lord Mayor of Denison, you're on the phone to Thomas.
I'm Denison. I'm leaving from Denison. I'm currently sitting in Denison. Sorry,
all right, just okay. Currently there driving through.
That's Did you ask for permission?
Honestly, you're really protective over that area, aren't you?
These days.
Still?
I love it, yeah.
Do you even live there anymore?
Who?
You?
Lovely area.
Oh, I'm there.
Do you just go and patrol the streets? Just
No, I go to eat there.
You were caught in Coyers a couple of weeks ago.
Coyers, sure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Other eateries are available. Anyway, Thomas, sorry, what made you call?
It's the thing I was about regarding Kasper Schmeichel.
Mm-hmm.
I said that to the producer, I don't feel sorry for him. I genuinely don't. This is, when I seen this last night, and it was mere annoyance. This isn't a new thing. This is something that we've all seen for over a year now. Best part of a year, for the cup final last year. This isn't a new thing. This is kind of spelt out. This guy's played games that he should never have played this season. And I listened to Alex saying it, and listen, Alex was quite right earlier on in the game. We Falkirk, got as a great result. You flip that the other way. The goals this season that he's lost, the goal against Kilmarnock was one of the worst attempts I've ever seen for a goalkeeper. I'm 42. I play Sunday amateur football as a goalkeeper, and I would have been embarrassed to lose a goal like that. The goal against Rangers, Mikey Moore's goal against Rangers, when attempted pathetic flick of the hand. And I say that to producer, it's the same thing every time. It's always a flick. And that's, you can obviously see, he's been in pain then, because he always makes the same mistake. He's trying to flick an arm at something, hoping to try and catch it. Sorry, hoping to try and kind of flick it away, sorry, rather than kind of putting a solid arm to it. I don't feel sorry for him, guys. That's my thought.
It must be bad if even the goalies' union's turned against you.
Well, listen, there's twofold here, Gordon. So clearly he has made some big errors. I think over the piece, I think, was he won the double last year? He's contributed to
top final stuck in the memory for a lot of fans.
Absolutely,
of fans.
And so when he comes up, doesn't he cost you a lot? I think if you'd have lasted last year, you'd think, right, he's done really well. I think this season there's been periods where he has lost a lot of goals. So when you talk about sympathy, I think it's a sad way for a guy of his career to peter out, you know, with a potential year, you know, recovery time. For me, on the human side, I just think it's difficult. But I do agree that his time up at Celtic was probably a few months ago, hence the reason why they've obviously brought Sinisalo in now.
So nothing in the kind of admirational side, Thomas, about him trying his best to play through the pain for Celtic? You're not buying any of that?
I totally agree with you, but this has been somebody who's looked after his kind of, it's going to sound daft, probably his kind of own interests. And as Alex said as well, last night, no mention of Celtic. This is all a guy who's tried to get himself through to another, to potentially a last World Cup, whether it's at detriment to a club or whatever, because he wanted to play at the World Cup, and this is what this has been. This is now realised he's not going to make the World Cup, and this is why this statement came out last night. And that's the bit myself and millions of other fans who you can see on forums are all saying the exact same thing.
Like, you'll never get every single detail of the exact timeline, the exact story. Listen, maybe you shouldn't. This is people's sort of medical history you're talking about. So I get that, and we're all nosy as football fans and media types. But I'm trying to kind of trace back, because I'm sure he trained last. So Friday I did the press conference up there. I'm sure he had trained that day. Martin Neil was saying he'd had the injection. He was kind of talking like he might have had the chance. He might have been involved at the weekend.
I get the impression.
So I'm just trying to piece together when that. I mean, he did say that he had just seen a specialist and that things had changed, but it's just all come about.
I get the impression they've tried to get an injection to settle that down to get him through to summer.
And I think he had been getting them
frequently.
Sporadically.
Yeah.
He didn't play, what was it, Livingston away?
Yeah, away. Yeah, that was
this season, yeah.
So I just get the impression that they've actually tried to manage this to the summer. Now, obviously, Sinisalo's coming in, and he would have been hoping that he could, for his career's sake, that, you know, he would have went to the World Cup with Denmark. Now, that, well, clearly that's not going to happen now, and that's why I have sympathy, you know, because obviously at his age, to go and represent his country at a World Cup would have been a great penultimate finish.
So on that, Tony, I think if he had successfully, if that's the right word, saved himself for Denmark, I think it would have really stuck in the throats of the Celtic fans. But he is going to miss the World Cup as well, you know, that's...
Hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it? See if he went and got an operation in October, November to be ready for the World Cup, Celtic fans would have went crazy. See, the fact he's played through pain, fair play to him, but then he starts making errors. Celtic fans are calling for him to be out of the team, booing him. So he's probably thinking, what am I doing this for? The way it's happened leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and only because the small parts of it. Like you said, he never mentioned Celtic in the thing last night, and I know a lot of people don't see that as a big problem, but I can only go off what I say back in the day. If you go on a show or whatever, you need to be careful what you say when you're a part of Celtic or Rangers, because you need to conduct yourself well, and I don't think he's put Celtic's best interests in the last 3 or 4 weeks to the forefront of his mind.
It's
which,
like how you always champion the Jags on here now.
Well, that's the thing, and I know we're laughing and joking about that, but see, when I come on here, I make sure I don't say anything stupid about Partick Thistle or...
Because Alex will kick you under the desk.
Well, that's it. I'm a wee bit scared of Al, but what my point is you're representing a club, and with all respect to Partick Thistle, Celtic and Rangers are monster clubs. You can't... I seen Russell Martin do an interview yesterday, and he was respectful at times with him, but whatever you say is going to get scrutinised, and at Celtic, you need to... Look at Joe Hart. It's the best example you can use with the keepers. Joe Hart's a cult hero because the way he speaks about Celtic. And for me, Schmeichel probably could have went about it better, but Celtic have probably landed on their feet because Sinisalo's performances have been really good, and they've probably been an upgrade if I'm putting myself...
Are you happy enough with that, Thomas, that Sinisalo's shown that...
I was kind of going to ask as well. So Tony still plays, Alec played as well. There's only so many times you can get injections or so regularly you can get injections.
How does that work? Educators.
Tony would know better, and obviously far better than what I would know.
I think they're all allowed a certain amount. I don't think it's every
couple of months,
7 months, yeah.
I don't think you can get them, and I think you can max yourself out with them. I think there comes a point where you can manage, especially a goalkeeper, by the way, with his shoulder. I think it's a goalkeeper, it's a really hard one to play through.
let's thank Thomas for his thoughts, because there's a lot actually coming in on that. It's just come out, like I said, came out of nowhere last night. One of those days you wonder what the big talking point in Scottish football is, and all of a sudden Kasper Schmeichel pops up on CBS and explains
the talking point.
All of a sudden, there we go. So yeah, keep the calls coming on that. If there's anything else we did mention earlier, a bit of a rumour, a report, call it what you will, about Rangers being interested in Elijah Just of Motherwell. Is that one that tickles your fancy, Rangers fans? I know for a fact you Motherwell fans won't like it. That's kind of the way it works. So either side of it, please do give us a call on that one. You can tweet us or whatever at Clyde SSB. Leah is in Fife. How's it going, Leah?
Hi, I'm good, Gordon. How are you guys tonight?
Good, thank you. What's on your mind? What made you call?
I had to phone. I am so mad at Thomas and Denniston. I mean, come on. I'm a huge Celtic fan, and I mean, give the guy a bit of slack, Schmeichel. Like, if you were an engineer, you had a job, and you had a sore shoulder and stuff, it's like, you're putting him in a position, doesn't matter if he makes loads of money, it's still his job. And I mean, he's played through the pain for Celtic, so I don't understand where this, oh, I didn't hear him speaking about Celtic. I think we should give him a bit of respect that he's actually been playing with this injury, and probably an agony sometimes. He's made a few mistakes, yeah, but so's most of the team this season. So yeah, I just had to phone because I was mad.
You know what, I think perspective is good, balance is good, because this is where football just is different, isn't it? You're talking about a guy with a long, distinguished, successful career that might now be over like that, might not get to bow out the way he wants, is going to miss a World Cup that he was, and there's a debate about whether you should have sympathy for him. So I kind of get where Leah means. It's an unforgiving business.
I said in the human side, Gordon, that, listen, I can clearly feel for the guy because of the circumstances in over the coming months. And as you say, a distinguished career. One of the things that I don't think anyone's kind of mentioned tonight anyway was, as I said earlier on, I feel as if the management team and the medical team at Celtic will most certainly have known about that shoulder. They might not have known the extent of the secondary part of it because they've been giving them injections and so forth. They had an option to play Sinisalo during that period as well. So, you know, you could also look at the management team and say they could have put him in and protected himself from further damage. So
you know, I take it there's a part where players say they're fit and players want to play and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think...
Does that happen?
I think last week Anthony Gordon had a sickness bug, did you see that? And Eddie Howe said, no, you're not playing, and he took the decision out of his hands. But a lot of players would just play through it, and I think Schmeichel's been...
Harder as well when they're Kasper Schmeichel, ultimately.
With your profile, and the fact that he's a goalie. The goalie's obviously the most scrutinised position in the pitch. And no, I think when you look back, you'll see that he done well in his first year. Like you said, the cup final will stick in a lot of people's throats, but this year hasn't been a success for him. And I think they've ended up with Sinisalo goals, and he's probably performed better this season. And yeah, I do have sympathy for Schmeichel though, because I do think he was the right fit. Obviously, the manager left in Brendan Rodgers, who is his guy. It must have been hard for him then. And then after that, it's probably just went downhill, hasn't it?
Do you feel more needs to be done to remember the good bits of what he's contributed, Leah? It feels like it is all ending very negatively.
Well, I think Thomas had said that all over the forums online, it's all been negative about Schmeichel. I've not seen that at all, so I don't know what forums he's going on to. Maybe anti-Celtic ones. But yeah, I think everybody, you know, feels sorry for the guy. I mean, I saw in his face when he was doing his, you know, when he actually announced that it could be career-ending, that I mean, the boy's devastated then. You can see his dad was the same. He's really sad for his son. I just think it's a sad end to his career that he might not have a Celtic jersey on again, and obviously no represent in the World Cup. I just think some of the Celtic fans should just lay off him a bit and, move on.
Leah, I like your empathy. Thank you very much. That was Leah from Fife.
Thank you, Gordon. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
And you, let me tell you about this.
Grade one.
Friday, 2 days away, you could be the winner of an incredible £650,000. I don't know who writes this stuff, but I like it. It says here that it's £500,000 to save and 150 grand to have fun with.
Nice. Wow.
That's some breakdown.
Think of the amount of socks. Think about the amount of socks you could buy after Big Tony.
Play Essentials.
By the way,
sale on.
I like the
many pairs do you get? That's what we need to do for the next read of the Make Me A Winner. Let's find out how many pairs of Tony's grip socks you could buy with 650 grand. Anyway, Every single penny of it goes into your bank account straight after the call. So text yes to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition as well, or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close in 2 days time, 5pm Friday. Do not miss out. Somebody wins every penny, and it might as well be you. Text yes to 61025. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Please get in touch. It was a quiet midweek till Casper Schmeichel had his say on TV last night. That seems to have livened y'all up in the phone lines. But if there's anything else out there, we will take it. Get your thoughts in, and we'll see how we go between now and 8 o'clock. Billy's just along the road in Clydebank. How are you, Billy?
I'm not so bad, Gordon. Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
What made you call? What are you thinking?
Obviously last night with the Casper Schmeichel thing, that's a Celtic business. But I think Rangers should be thinking about Jack Butland. I don't think Jack Butland is the keeper for next season. And I think come this summer, they really need to be looking for a new goalkeeper. Liam Kelly's no the answer. But, you know, he's no to the standard. But I think Jack Butland's been a great... Don't get me wrong, Jack Butland has been absolutely brilliant for Rangers. But the last few months, I've seen a decline in Jack Butland. And I don't feel he's the right keeper. And I think Rangers need to go out and get themselves a new keeper. And I'm just wanting to know how Tony and Alex feel about that.
It's funny, isn't it? I said football was unforgiving business, Casper Schmeichel, yeah. And it's just inspired Billy to say, we need a new goalie as well. I quite like that. I like the thinking, certainly in the notion of his contract is up at the end of the 2027. The following year, because he was asked recently at a press conference.
Still 18 months.
If anything had moved, they said he was keen to stay on. Billy clearly not so keen. What do you think?
Listen, I think he's done okay this season. There's been times where he's been pretty solid, and then I think he's obviously made the odd error. The problem that goalkeepers have is when they make an error, it gets highlighted more so than any other position. He is part of a defence that has, was it 25 conceded this year? So I think, you know, It's the best defensive record alongside Motherwell. So for me, you know, there could be an argument that he's actually doing okay. They're relatively solid at the back. Rangers, I think, at the top end is more of an issue for Rangers currently. They've been stingy in the last couple of games. So yeah, I don't think Rangers will be in a hurry to bring in a number one with Jack there. You know, he's obviously mentioned Liam Kelly, who's
so pretty well when he's come in though, hasn't he?
Yeah, Liam's very vocal, a Scottish international as well. So, you know, he's been asked a couple of times to come in and he hasn't let himself down. So whether that's a position that Rangers are really looking to kind of like go out and actively kind of buy a goalkeeper, because to get a replacement for a number one, you've obviously seen that over the last couple of years prior to Joe Hart and things. Who was the boy that came back this year for Celtic?
Barkas,
yeah. He paid £4 or £5 million for him and it didn't quite work. So you have to be diligent what you're actually trying to do so that you can bring someone in at the age is going to develop as well. So it may well be a case of maybe keep Jack for that 18 months and then get someone younger and then kind of show him the ropes.
It feels like, Billy's maybe... more on the negative side of it, it feels like Jack Butland's had a good season whilst also making some mistakes. Do you know what I mean? It feels like he's had some extremes. We spoke about the penalty record not in shootouts, as we discovered, whatever that's all about. But in normal time, the penalty record, I feel like there have been some really big saves, but then people remember the Shankland goal at the near post or whatever at Tynecastle.
I think Jack Butland, very similar to the Schmeichel one, I think in the back of Rangers fans' throats is the mistake he makes for Ida in the cup final.
Just never get over it.
I think that happens at Celtic Rangers, and I think people don't get over it. I think Butland's a good keeper. I think he's got the right kind of composure about him in terms of shot stopping, and he conducts himself well. he's not great in the build up, but Danny Rowe doesn't seem to care for that. Danny Rowe's more rigid, doesn't give a lot of goals away, hard to beat, and I think he suits them. I don't think Rangers need to be going out and gambling on, like you said, if they go and spend 2-3 million on a keeper, which a position they don't really need, and they end up with a Barkas, with all due respect
to him. Billy, you think they do need it? You're putting it quite high up your priority list.
Yeah, no, I'm Gordon, because I can see it as it's, I mean, Jack, let us say, is a good keeper, but I just think that his time at Rangers is over. And I heard the statement last week, he says he wants to extend his and I think that would be a big, massive mistake for Rangers. They need to go in now and get somebody. I don't know who, don't ask me who, please don't, but...
I think Rangers have done quite well in that department.
The goalkeeping department. Listen, they obviously got him in a free as well, Gordon, a couple of years ago. So,
you know, to go from, it went directly McGregor to Butland, didn't it?
Yeah.
So it spans quite a few years. It feels like they've not had many
major issues, really. Listen, I think when, as I said, I think when you're competing for a title and then you make the odd rick, I think it gets highlighted more. I would suggest that Danny Rowe would be happy with what he's seen, but that may well change in the summer if they decide to go out and say, right, okay, we're going to go for another keeper. And what that looks like behind them, does Jack become the number two? Does Liam Kelly move on, or did he keep the status quo? So, so it's interesting because, again, it might fulfil the criteria what Tony says, because he just gets out of his feet. He has a tendency to shift it on his weaker left foot and then drills it in. But yeah, he can actually drop it in relatively well. I don't think that's an issue for him. And I don't see them kind of constructing and Dane Cruyffs and things. I don't see Jack doing that. So I think over the piece, since Jack came, I think most people say you get pass marks.
Maybe it's just me. I'm not accusing everyone of this, but so I think I unfairly categorise all experienced goalkeepers as if they're like the same age. I did not realise Jack Butland was only 33.
No way.
So he's done the same as me.
He's a year old on me.
He's only 30. He's only 32.
That's mad. Actually, I think I played against him when he was in the England 21s.
He's only 33.
I think he played that game.
He's not old for a goalkeeper at all. And by the way, I know that's not the point Billy's making. He's talking more about form rather than
he's
got years like proper
he's over. He's got 3-4 years left at the level of Rangers
I
for me.
I did not realise that.
He can
did
play
you actually
Rangers
think he was older?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm surprised at you. You're talking as if he's an old man there, by the way. Oh, he's a quite good looking big guy.
He's a young guy, 33. That's young. 32 is very young.
Billy, what else? I mean, this is their list. We're asking about summer recruits, I think, 18th of March. But that, we mentioned the wee newspaper report earlier suggesting someone like Elijah Just of Motherwell maybe on Rangers' radar. Is that one you would look at? Or what are the other priorities for you heading forward?
We definitely need somebody up front. Elijah Just has been sensational this year for yourselves, Motherwell. And it's something that we would look for. But I just think up front... Midfield, we're okay, you know, in the middle of the park, but there's a couple. I would look at the defence to a certain extent, but up front, definitely Elijah Just. I would take him in a heartbeat.
Is the two up front for Rangers still working, Alex? It's something that came up last night and it was quite interesting because you could see why it. Why it came to being to begin with.
Yeah.
Is it already time to look elsewhere?
Well, I watched the Hearts game and I thought it worked really well. I thought the two of them kind of really dominated, really aggressive. But, you know, if you're trying to mix it up, then you're looking. I don't get the impression that the management team are that convinced with Majovski. I just don't get the feeling that they've got a lot of confidence in him, hence the reason why his playing time has really dwindled. But again, you're looking to think, so if you need someone to play off one of the two number nines, again, you would need a number 10. That's, you're obviously talking about a recruitment policy in the summer. I would absolutely be flabbergasted if they don't bring a creative one in that little pocket, because it just gives you another dimension. If you don't want to go with the two, I would imagine maybe they might want to cash in on Majovski, then try and get someone else in, because, as I said, it doesn't seem to be working for the lad. And again, it's only a couple of months, but... it doesn't seem to be going in the right direction for me.
Well, thoughts on Elijah Just or anyone else? Good time to share them. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Every cloud and all that, Tony Watt's injury might have ruled him out for Partick Thistle, but more time to focus on Beat the Pundit, his other favourite pastime. So if you want to tackle him or Alex Ray tonight, it's 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here at 0141 951 1025. We got quite involved in a Casper Schmeichel discussion and debate in the first hour, which we maybe didn't expect, didn't see coming. But he had that announcement last night that his season and possibly his career is over. So there's been quite a few differing opinions on that. Even spurred on a Rangers fan to phone in and say they want a new goalie as well. So whatever inspiration you take, you can give us a call. These two have got their Partick Thistle connection if you want to tap into their experiences there. The title race is everywhere, isn't it? I don't think we need to escape that just because it's a quiet midweek. So any lingering thoughts, we'll take those as well. And I did say at the start of the show, I do think St Mirren's managerial vacancy maybe hasn't had the attention it deserves on the show, because we went quite quickly into the weekend and all the stuff that always falls out of that. So any St Mirren fans, I'd love you to get in touch. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Tony Watt's highlight of the week. Alex Ray won 4-2 last Wednesday as well, so they're in decent form.
Five.
Both of them. Oh, somebody's done you on the sheet. 4-2, they're saying.
You scrubbed the one off for me. Top goal scorer in the championship.
Well, I took it out because you're in the championship.
Nice.
I know, I shouldn't really, I wasn't seriously taking it off, so add it back on. Nice. See, they take it seriously. They've got their goal difference to look after. Imagine this title race comes down to goal difference, by the way. Three teams in it.
Incredible,
isn't
it?
Do you think it's possible? Because even the goal difference is like bang on, is it not?
Yeah, goal difference says Hearts plus 27, Rangers plus 27, and Celtic are plus 24.
What a year, man.
Tricky, eh?
Incredible. That really is. That's going to be quite something. Right, anyway, we've got Beat the Pundit first. Let's hope it's a bit more straightforward tonight. Scott is in air. How are you, Scott?
Aye, not bad. Yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Have you played this before?
Aye, about this time last year.
Okay, and?
I played Andy Halliday. And that's where I got the famous Seville question wrong.
But did you beat him?
No, he beat me. Ah, anyway.
I was going to say,
he knew something about Dundee United that I didn't.
Playing Andy usually only ends one way. I must say he's not too bad at this at all.
Sounds good, doesn't he?
Aye.
He sounds good, but if he's running Andy close, well, he sounds no bad.
He didn't say it was close. Aye. He just said he got one right that Andy didn't. But
was it close, Scott?
Beat me 4-3.
Oh, there you go.
Hope you get a flip tonight, Tony. No, I'm not that excited tonight.
Anyway, the blue side will be for Tony Watt. The red side is for Alex Ray. And it is Alex Ray. He's not happy.
I'm not feeling this.
Sad. It's been a bad week for me.
God.
I know. Your injury and just to add the proverbial insult.
This is just added,
aye. But it's Alex anyway who's going to play. So let's give him something else to listen to. Scott, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, perfectly allowable. Okay?
Perfect.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which team did Scotland play in the opening match of Euro 2024?
Israel.
Who's Celtic's number 8?
Pass.
How many teams has Marvin Bartley managed?
4.
Which team did Rangers beat to win the 2016 Challenge Cup?
Peterhead.
How many of the current Scotland squad's dads have also been capped? Oh, what a question.
3.
Who was Hibs' last English manager?
Us.
Who's the only SPFL club to have originated from a school team?
Aberdeen.
Okay, let's bring back Alex Ray. Can you hear us? What's wrong with you?
Your smile has actually gave us away. This geezer's flying by me because you just looked at me and went, cheeser.
Or it could be that he was hopeless.
Not a chance, by the way. Your face. Yeah. Tell your face that then.
Did you hear it?
Hard questions. Not on about answers, but me thinking about doing them, I'd have struggled there.
30 seconds on the clock. The same questions, Alex Ray. Your time starts now. Which team did Scotland play in the opening match of Euro 2024?
Denmark.
Who's Celtic's number 8?
Bernardo.
How many teams has Marvin Bartley managed?
2.
Which team did Rangers beat to win the 2016 Challenge Cup?
Inverness.
How many of the current Scotland squad's dads have also been capped?
Pass.
Who was Hibs' last English manager?
Stubbs.
Name the only SPFL club to originate from a school team.
Spartans.
Okay. You think they were tough?
I just don't want a zippity doodah.
You could be on track.
I tell you what though, do you want me to tell you which one wasn't it tough? Both of you.
What?
The opening match of the Euros. Did I know not. We've tried to, what?
I said Czech.
What? I know we've tried to forget about it. What? Germany in Munich, the opening game of the Euros. Okay. Porteous, battered. Porteous sent off. Come on.
And it was their
I'm just trying to get an answer in quick, yeah, boys. I'm sorry.
Was it not the opening game of the whole thing?
Yes. That's why I said the opening match of Euro 2024. Both of you. Hopeless. 0-0 after the first question.
Result.
Celtic's number 8. You know, good with squad numbers.
Negrin.
Benjamin Negrin.
You said Bernardo, didn't he?
What's the story with 32?
I just gave it when I was a young boy and I kept it.
You
liked it.
Had it everywhere?
A couple of times I couldn't get it. Like I got 33, I got 8 somewhere. 9, which isn't me.
So 32, right. Just curious. So it's 0-0 after two questions.
It's
a good start. How many teams has Marvin Bartley managed? Queen of the South, Livingston, and that is it. It is 2, which means Alex Ray goes 1-0.
I'm just happy with the one.
Front. However, which team did Rangers beat to win the 2016 Challenge Cup? It was Peterhead. Remember it? Hampden 4-0. And
Tav
Wondergo. Scott remembers it and he got it right. So it is 1-0.
How's he produced that?
I'm going to come back to the next one. Hibs' last English manager was Lee Johnson. So you're kind of not a million miles. I see what you're thinking there. And the clue's in the title, but maybe not easy to recall under pressure. SPFL club to originate from a school team. Hamilton Academical.
See
what they've done there. So it's level until we get to how many of the current Scotland squad dads have been capped. My advice to you, see when it's a question where it's just a number, just guess a number.
Yeah, you're probably
don't
right,
pass
yeah.
it. Derek and Lewis Ferguson, Lennon and Lee Miller, Angus and Brian Gunn.
Okay,
that is it.
Please don't tell me you got it.
Scott guessed 3.
Lucky. He's lucky.
Scott, was it say it was an educated guess?
It was an educated guess.
Oh, you've been done. That is not a good one to lose out to.
Did you say you were going to miss one? Was that one?
That
you?
Was the one. Just a wee bit of suspense.
Right,
just
okay.
out, you know, just
a bad night. Night.
Well, we've had questions,
I'll be going in tomorrow morning telling everybody.
Many would you go there?
3.
Really?
I guess 3, but I didn't have
Do you not have to tone down your bravado when you're out injured, don't know? Or does it
no,
go up?
No, it goes up.
Up on
it's
no,
an
that's no good, is it? That's not good for anybody.
Well, I can't have a bad game at the weekend, can I?
Oh, that's true. So bulletproof, essentially.
Who was responsible for the questions? Because they were absolutely really scandalous.
No, though, to be fair, though, I don't think the opening match of the Euros is tough. Mm. I think that's poor from you both.
I'm not big on Scotland knowledge.
Is the opening game of the last major tournament?
The Negrin one was the only easy question for me. The Marvin one is a toss-up. And then the dads is wild.
I accept some of them are tough, but... Nah, I'm not giving you Germany, Scotland. I'm disappointed in you all. I'll tell you what, you boys have taken your eyes off this game during that
second gear.
Remember we were praising how good the game it is. Barcelona are now 6-2 up on Newcastle with just an hour on the clock. Quite incredible.
Well done, Scott.
Sorry, I get distracted. Scott, you happy with that?
Aye, well done.
You want the sign ball or coin? What are you after?
I'll go for the sign ball, please.
Quite right. Okay, though. Who's your team, by the way?
Rangers.
And what is what's your major feeling as a Rangers fan just now then? We've not really discussed the title race tonight yet.
I think it's still majorly on. There's 3 points obviously between the top three. The goal difference of Rangers is and bang on money with Hearts. I think it's got to be a close run in. I would like to see it go to the last day.
Oh, wouldn't we all? Alex, from a I don't know, both of you can go Rangers specific or you can talk generally. What did you take away from the weekend? How big a change is that, Hearts losing when the other two win?
Yeah, well listen, obviously they've clawed it back to 3 points. I think on the back of a double header against Celtic where they obviously never got the results, for me you have to bounce back, and the fact that they managed to bounce back and claw the team at the top of the pile back to 3 points, I think aesthetically it actually looked better. Now you've got guys like Scott, can you imagine they dropped points because it was turgid at times and you're thinking 1-0 and there was a bit of sweat on for most Rangers fans. you're looking at that and you're thinking to yourself, right, okay, 3 points, move on to the next one. Danny Rose come out and says, what is it, 8 cup finals from now on in. They have to just keep winning games and then try and see if there's points. Because I've maintained, I think the way the league is this year, I think the top three will most certainly drop points along the way just because of the nature of it all.
I love every week now you look at the fixtures and you almost rank them in who's got the hardest fixture and so on.
I know, but it doesn't work that way, Gordon, because you're looking at Hearts against, with the greatest respect to Kilmarnock.
Rangers went to Livy and drew.
Absolutely. Everyone's scratching for points.
Tony, what do you think? You know, we've been saying this, the Hearts are in an unforgiving position because obviously they've never been there. Obviously they're the underdogs, budgets, history, etc. So everybody's desperate to accuse them of bottle issues, mentality issues. Is that what we saw, or was it just an off night you think they can bounce back from, or would you be concerned at how off it was?
Well, I think Kilmarnock are better under Neil McCann. I think that's known at the moment. Going away to an AstroTurf pitch, it's sometimes difficult. I don't think anything can be accused by bottle, because in big games they've stepped up. They've shown over the course and distance of this season that they can compete. Derek McInnes has said that a few times. But I think now it's going to really be who can stay, who can go on the best run. And I think all three are capable. But I think Hearts have probably, other than the weekend, turned over the smaller teams better than the other two. But now I think it's, we say it every week, it's going to be the best title race in my lifetime. Especially the fact that there's three people in it. That's never been seen in my lifetime, and hopefully it lives up to it.
I think the 3 points for Kilmarnock the weekend was massive for them as well, in the grand scale of things. You know, you look at that bottom, I think for weeks they've been trying to claw back St Mirren. If either one of them, St Mirren or Kilmarnock, can get a win, then Aberdeen's very much back in the mix as well.
Here's the most obvious question I'll ask all night. Are you going down if you're Braga the other night? You can down before the contact comes.
If the contact doesn't come, I'm down. I don't care what. See this. Don't. If I get touched, I'm going down. See this. Or stay up and we'll still give you a penalty. It's the biggest load of nonsense ever. See if you get touched in the box with the foot, you go down. I said it off air about scales. See a lot of shirt pulls. You're not getting brought to the ground with a shirt pull. A lot of it is making the most of it, and when you feel something, you go down. Every footballer, probably other than Gogic, is going down.
Do you know what's funny about this is, like, this predates VAR and any of this stuff, Alex. This has been around for as long as I can remember, that this notion of you shouldn't need to go down, but you probably do, and we've never found an answer happy medium, to that. Yeah.
Well, do you know the interesting thing is, he actually does go down, because he stumbles, so he clearly lost his footing. I actually thought it was a penalty, you know, because of the contact. And the fact that he's tried to stay up, I think that for me is a clear and obvious, because I don't think the ref would actually have saw that at that particular time. So I think they have to drag him back to that, because he has tried to stay in but ultimately he's lost his stride. So for me it was a penalty.
Yeah. Thank you very much to Scott. Very much on was as far as he would
lucky
go.
Lucky Scott, you mean?
For Rangers title challenge. What about Celtics then? A quiet midweek, a chance to reflect on where everybody sits. Declan, how do you feel?
Alright, Pano. Just what I say, Tony, you gave me the best night of my life with that Barcelona game, mate.
It's been a while since somebody mentioned that, to be fair.
I thought you were talking about upcoming.
Night of my life, mate. I was greeting and everything, my man.
Good man.
I just want to speak about, I feel as if Celtic's going to beat Rangers and Hearts at home, but I feel as if Motherwell's going to do his ability done. Just feel Motherwell's the best team in the league. And also what I say, Alex Ray, how rage were you last weekend, my man?
Very.
What was that? Was that the penalty decision? I've still not got over it, mate.
Oh, mate, how, your tears, man.
Declan, don't come on. Declan, all he's done is moan to me in the office about it for the last 2 hours as
remember,
well.
Remember, I'm here as well, Declan.
Aye, exactly, that's true. You tears for a different reason for you. That isn't something worth bearing in mind. We've not got to it yet. That breakdown of fixtures and who goes where.
Yes.
Andy, I remember Andy Halliday on Monday, he's quite big on that. He feels that, look, although arithmetically, of course, Rangers are just 1 point behind Celtic, that's not that much of a difference. He feels the fact that they need to go to Celtic Park and go to Tynecastle.
That's a big bearing.
It's hard to know exactly how much emphasis, and there'll be that anomaly somewhere, but the top three won't suffer the anomalies, I don't think, if that makes sense. That it'll be maybe an extra trip to Falkirk, an extra trip to Hibs, something like that.
Rangers have actually been decent at Celtic Park the last few years. They've been decent in the big games as well. I know, by I looked at it the other day, Hearts have got Motherwell before the split as well.
Yeah.
So they got them twice.
Yeah.
So that'll be difficult. Obviously, you're expecting Motherwell to be a banana skin for a few of the, well, all three of the top teams. I think Motherwell will give them all a hard game. The fact that Hearts have got them in there probably is difficult. Celtic have got decent fixtures as well. So I think Rangers aren't out.
Away to both Dundee teams, Celtic, haven't they?
Aye, and then I think they've got a home game.
St Mirren.
Aye,
and then St Mirren
prior
the cup.
To the split, certainly.
Yeah. So I think if you're wanting to win the league, you should win all three of the games. I think Hearts and Rangers would want the three games as well leading into the split. I think Rangers' fixtures aren't bad either, but
two home games.
The Hearts one stuck out to me, the Motherwell one. Having to play them twice is going to be tricky, because Motherwell are a decent team, and I think, like we said last week, Motherwell will have a big say in the title race for me.
So Falkirk, if you look at what they've done.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm now duty bound to just mention them all and say Hibs as well. Said before, I feel like Hugh Keevan's mischief making. I'm still really interested in how Hibs fans will feel if this has a bearing on whether Hearts win the league or not. We'll get to that. But look at Falkirk as well, Alex. Everyone keeps mentioning this about Motherwell, and I get it, they're the closest, but I don't think anybody wants to go to Falkirk.
No, and Hibs missed an opportunity to claw Motherwell back at the weekend. Gordon, did it play this weekend? Hibs, Motherwell this weekend.
Park,
so that would have been an opportunity to kind of get level with them, but they've obviously passed that up. I think on their day, and again, I'll re-emphasise, obviously they've still got three games to negotiate between the split. But all these teams at the bottom are absolutely fighting for their lives. And we've seen it over the recent weeks where, as you rightly said, Gordon, about Livingston taking up a point off of Rangers, and then obviously at the weekend, Kilmarnock. So it's okay saying in paper that all these fixtures should take care of themselves. But if you're wanting to win a title, you have to go into that split with maximum points.
Does that feel like an important win for Celtic? Obviously, it was a close game. There's a sending off. Even Andy Halliday admits it was a sending off. We'll never know how the game pans out otherwise, but that's not Celtic's fault, you know. And they were better in the second half as well prior to that. Did that feel like a kind of a big win?
Yeah, after the last couple of weeks, obviously Celtic's form on paper's been all right, but after the first half at Ibrox and then the cup game where they were backs against the wall and they won it, going 1-0 down, I thought, oof, they could be in trouble here. Coming back, winning that 3-1 against a team like Motherwell who keep the ball, I think it's massive. I think it shows you that Celtic still have a bit of fight left in them, and I think they're going to be right in the mix for the title.
You know, you talk about showing a little bit of fight at the weekend. They've been doing it all season. The amount of 90 plus, you know, scoring really late on and kind of taking it to the wire and getting the job done. And I think Martin O'Neill has to take a lot of credit for, you know, the both stints.
Okay, thank you very much to Declan and Castle Milk, 0141 951 1025. Good time to jump on board. We'll speak to you next if you give us a call.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here, 0141 951 1025. I've now just like hooked into giving you score updates from Barcelona Newcastle as if it impacts us, but it's 7-2 to Barcelona. It's quite a...
I have to say, the second half, Barcelona
remarkable.
Have been absolutely sensational. Is it Lamal? Oh dear,
his wee tongue.
He done a wee shimmy and left the guy for stone dead.
He's got a future, him. I've heard. Anyway, before we go any further, going to take some more calls in just a sec. Let me give you this question.
Okay.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Raphael in Helensburgh has sent this one in. Must be hot off the press because it is so topical. With Kasper Schmeichel announcing his injury, who are the last seven players to wear the number one jersey for Celtic? So to state the obvious, not all goalies do it, but who were the last seven official number ones for Celtic prior to Kasper Schmeichel? Couple easy ones.
Rob Douglas.
No.
Boric.
Yes. Was Rob Douglas your first go to?
Barkas.
Yes.
Ooh.
I don't know, it was the first name that came out of my head,
because he's not that recent. And I think he wore, was it 20 or something? Anyway, I'll leave it there. That's
just right. Barkas and who?
Barkas and Boric.
Joe Hart.
Yes. Okay, leave it there, because that is three. So you've made a relatively quick start, even amongst the Brad Douglas shout. And thanks again to Raphael from Helensburgh sending it in. Quick reminder, if you want to hear your question used in the show, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. And as always, thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow, our new sponsor on that segment as well. Now, I did say earlier on, I was quite keen to shine a bit of a light on St Mirren's managerial vacancy. It's one of our clubs right on our doorstep, well-established Premiership club. It's always a big deal when there's a managerial vacancy like that. But there's something about the timing, something about the Stephen Robinson going, something about the big weekend. I don't feel like we've spoken about it enough and the direction they go in. So let's do that. With that in mind, we'll get Div McDonald on the line. You may know him better as being the Mr. Pie and Bovril. Is that an appropriate title, Div? Are you happy with that?
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, I've been called a lot worse.
Nah, exactly. Mr. Pie and Bovril. You obviously are a big St Mirren fan. That is not a secret. What are you thinking at the moment in terms of, does it need done urgently? Have you got any names in the frame? How do you feel about the situation, the way it's unfolded?
I think the timing, I think you said at the start there, the timing's really unfortunate for us. We're obviously, even by St Mirren standards, having an unusual season where we've got a cup in the boardroom, but in a semi-final of another major competition, and we could still get relegated. So, it's really not ideal. I think there is no obvious candidate, I think, is the honest answer. I think you can see it on the forums and the chats and things like that. The fans are, you know, you're always looking in domestically, you're looking at the Championship, Simo Vallecari, Mark Wilson, who obviously Alec Antonio in a way, Neil Lennon. Would any of those actually jump ship at this point to come to St Mirren? Not sure. Would the fans even be up for that? Not sure. Gary Naismith at Steny has been another name I've seen bandied around. It's a big step up. And then you're looking at, you know, assistant managers maybe making a step up. Stephen McGinn's I'm obviously a club legend, doing really well at Falkirk under John McGlynn. Would he be interested? Is it too soon for him? He was very coy on the TV on Sunday.
Yeah, what did you make of that? I thought he handled it really well, because it's very unforgiving. That, and I thought he kind of said everything. He gave St Mirren so much respect, Falkirk so much respect. I still couldn't get a gauge on what he was thinking, but he didn't totally clam up either. I thought he handled it well. What are your thoughts on that one? That is an interesting one.
100%. I think just to typify Stephen, I think everybody likes him. If he was to come at St Mirren, he'd give everybody a lift, because everybody adores him for what he did for us as a player. You know, we probably wouldn't even be in the Premiership at the moment if it wasn't for the way he dragged us from the depths of a League One struggle up right through the Championship and back into the top flight in 2018. So he derived a lot of credit in the bank. However, he obviously is untried, and at the moment with 8 games to go, it'd be a massive risk for us, and it'd be a risk for him as well, let's be fair, to cut his teeth as his first managerial job with that hanging over him. So maybe him being part of a new management team might be a more sensible approach. But I don't know. But, you know, it's just very, very difficult. Dama De Caro's another name that's been bandied around, but he's at Sparta Prague. You know, would he really come from Sparta Prague to come back to St Mirren? I'd probably say unlikely. And again, he's never been a number one. And then today, Stephen Davis's name started getting mentioned from nowhere. And again, you know, he's at Blackburn just now. Is he really going to be moving from Blackburn to St Mirren? I don't know. So it's a difficult one. There's no obvious candidate. Craig McLeish spoke really well, I thought, at the weekend. I thought we played fairly well second half, considering, you know, Rangers are still a good side. They've only lost 2 games all season. You know, we were without 7 players on Sunday through injury, which only left us 15 fit bodies, so we are down to the bones as well. So it's a very, very difficult situation, but I do think we need someone in to try and give us a lift ahead of, you know, 8 massive games and a big cup semi-final.
Is it an unforgiving timing for all of those things that they've mentioned? You know, let's say you are Stephen McGinn, just as an example, or anyone, you know, you see that as a, you know, you obviously want to be a manager, or you want to take that job, but you just not got a lot of time to work. How do you balance up that kind of, you know, need to take an opportunity versus the fact that you don't have a pre-season, you're in the midst of probably a relegation playoff fight anyway?
I think this will purely boil down to the individual, Gordon, because I think you make some valid points there. Certain people will be in good positions at various clubs. Do they want to make that transition now? And obviously, Div's just mentioned they've got 15 fit bodies. And then you obviously have to hit the ground running because of the ramifications about, you know, where they're at and so forth. But it's really interesting listening to Div, because there's obviously mentioned four or five names on the bat there. Would that be sufficient for the fan base? But ultimately, they need to try and get someone in the door. He mentioned that Craig McLeish did well at the weekend. Could you drag that down another week or two with confidence going into that as well? So there's a lot of factors at stake here, but he's right in what he says. You know, it's a very decent post to be taking. They've obviously got League Cup wrapped up, semi-final. Mm-hmm. A couple of wins on the back of that would secure safety this season. So it would be a very appealing job for a lot out there.
I feel like quite a lot of these vacancies now, Tony, when they come around, I feel there is a lack of an obvious candidate, because you're seeing, I'm not saying this is, they've not reinvented the wheel by looking outside of the country. It's been done before, but like nobody had heard of Jens Bertolascu, right? So we didn't get any calls saying, oh, he should be the next Motherwell manager.
Or even Michael Vimmer before him.
You know, so that one, Aberdeen went abroad for Jimmy Tilleen. People can say it wasn't successful, but we won a Scottish Cup. Yeah. And then obviously we're presumably about to go further afield again. Div won't want me to remind him what happened next. They ended up going and taking the guy just along the road. So are we seeing that more and more? Yeah. There isn't an obvious...
I think the first port of call for teams at the moment is to look abroad, because they know that...
That's what... Do you think that applies to St Mirren now, yes, right now in this current...
Well, the only thing... The points on the table are the only thing that tells me they might need to look at home and try and get a experienced manager who can win games, because I know Kilmarnock play Livingston at the weekend. If Kilmarnock win that, St Mirren are in real trouble if they don't win, in terms of being in the playoff positions, because Kilmarnock have shown that they've picked up, they've got 7 points in their last five games. St Mirren only won. So I think that they need to get something sorted. If they're giving McLeish it to the end of the season, announce it now. The big problem, obviously, Div will know better than me, is the injuries at St Mirren at the moment. I'm not sure where... I don't think they can change the formation to two wingers, because probably their best wingers out injured at the moment. I think Keanu Backus, by all accounts, has just done his Achilles. So I think they've had a lot of bad luck as well. 11 first team players out, as
you know, your luck's out as well when you've already got injuries, and then Gogic goes and headbutts his teammate.
Oh man!
By accident early on.
Well, one thing you want is that guy playing for you, yep. Because I have to say, you know, if you're like a stalwart, your head's get the gash and so forth, staples, and then the next minute he's traipsing about with a bit of Vaseline in his head.
He,
so
I don't think he closed his eyes when the staples went
in. Oh no!
He
no,
took
no,
them
no.
like an absolute, and that's what I made the joke about. He's probably the only guy that doesn't go down the box. He's an animal. I've obviously played with Gog, and that's what you look in and you go, St Mirren's a very good entry level for a Stephen McGinn, let's say.
Are you worried time wise, Div? Does it, you know, people always say they don't want to rush and they need to get the right guy, which is obvious, but do you feel like rushing a bit, or are you relaxed?
I felt a little bit more encouraged with what I saw second half on Sunday. I think Craig's going to get the gig this Saturday, Falkirk, against Falkirk, which is obviously a very tough place to go, but one of the few places we have actually won this season, so I suppose there's some crumb of comfort there. So, you know, maybe we'll go there, we might get something, and that might be enough for the board to say, well, look, let's just give him it to the end of the season. But it is very, very risky. He is a rookie. Jamie and Alan McManus are obviously helping him, which is good. They've done that before. We've got a lot of experienced players in and around the club who help, like Goga, like Marcus Fraser, even though he's injured. You know, players like that have been there, seen it, done it. So I don't know. It's a very tough one. You know, I don't want to give up the semi-final either. We've not been to a semi-final with fans in the stadium, Scottish Cup, since 2009. So it's a massive game for us. We've already beaten Celtic there. And I know, you know, it is Celtic, but we beat them there only 12 weeks ago. We won that cup, and it feels like an absolute lifetime ago. It's incredible. But that's football. It changes quickly as well. You know, you guys have mentioned there, Kilmarnock have had a bounce off Neil McCann, and they look good. And I think the other thing that's concerning St Mirren fans is we saw, you know, at first hand last Sunday, Partick Thistle more than gave us a good game. So if we do end up in a playoff, you know, I don't think Livingston are ever going to catch us, but if we end up in a playoff, worst case scenario, and we come up against a Partick Thistle or Dunfermline, you know, it's 50-50, we're in trouble. And I think everybody understands that. So it's imperative we get a bounce off either Craig or a new manager or somebody, and hopefully get some of these players back off the injury list.
It's only 12 weeks ago, we could see what Wilfried Nancy's up to. sent him down.
Don't even
go. They need somebody for 3 weeks, don't they? 4 weeks. So.
What about that Stonewall penalty you got in the cup tie against these two, Div?
Do you know what? We've had so many things go against us this season with VAR that we were probably due one. But I was embarrassed by it, to be honest. I didn't understand it at the time in the ground, obviously, because nobody did. But seeing it again after the game, I couldn't believe it. I did felt sorry for Thistle, but as I say, we've been on the wrong end of more than most over the last couple of seasons. So, you know.
Obviously, I'm only asking to wind Alex up. I'm going to keep asking this for the next 6 months. He's triggered, as they say.
Seriously.
Very much so.
No, Div, I saw your tweet post-match, basically saying that if that was against your team, you would have been livid as well. But listen, he's doubled down and the guy's at least consistent. Because I'm of the same opinion as him.
Oh, my goodness. Back to more pressing matters. Div, what is your sort of current confidence level that you do escape the playoffs?
Well, I think the post-split games, we've got Kilmarnock and Livingston and Dundee United coming to Paisley, so that will really help, hopefully. Our home form is the only thing that we've got going for us, and it's not brilliant, but we've only won one away game all season, so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that we're better in Paisley than we are on the road. So that, I think, you know, we've still got a chance, of course, of finishing above Kilmarnock. I don't see us catching anybody else. I think it's 10th at best for us, probably 11th at worst. I don't think Livingston will catch us. So I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm quite a positive person. I've seen this at my team do some brilliant things. So I'm just hopeful and praying that they can get themselves over the line. And it'll still be a great season. If we finish 10th with a cup in the cabinet, at least one, still a brilliant season. And, you know, one we'll never forget for lots of different reasons.
What's your theory on why? It's the kind of question everyone will be asking. It feels a little bit easy to say that it's some sort of cup hangover and that was, you know, job done and then things have tailed off. Because I don't think the league form wasn't brilliant in the run up to the cup either. So I don't know, what's the theory from you, because you'll be closer to it than us as to why it's gone wrong in the league.
I think you're absolutely right. We won 3 games in 15 before the cup final. We've won 2 games in 15 after the cup final. So this is our season long issue. Recruitment, as everybody will tell you, recruitment makes and breaks a season, and our recruitment in the last few seasons has been stellar for a club like us with the budget that we've been playing with. This season it didn't work out. You know, Martin Foyle left last year to go to Carlisle. John Parch came in. Whether that affected it or not, the recruitment last summer was pretty hit and miss. There was a couple of hits in there, but quite a lot of misses. And the January window was a disaster. You know, we've not recruited well at all. The boy Devaney from Man United is probably the only positive impact we've had, and he's not really been seen very much. Didn't really fit in with what we would call robo ball. Whereas McLeish at least, you know, got him playing a little bit more, and we saw a bit of glimpses on Sunday of what he can do. So I think Craig will definitely, looks as though he's going to try and play a different style. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we've been predictable. We play 3-5-2. Everybody knows we play 3-5-2. We play robo ball. We don't want the ball. You know, we go long, and teams have just cottoned on to it. I think it just went a little bit stale towards the end. You know, I'll never hear a bad word said about Stephen Robinson, but at the same time, it's not often you get your manager poached when he's on a run of one win in 14 games. It's very unusual. But the last time Aberdeen did that was with Jim Goodwin, and he was just coming off the back of a good run, but also on the back of that came on the back of a really bad run, and that didn't work out well. So maybe they've made the same mistake again.
A strange season all round, but we do appreciate it, Div McDonald, Mr. Pye and Bovril, on giving us his St Mirren thoughts, because it's going to be one to watch. Do they make that appointment soon? Who is it? You've got the timing plus the personnel there as well, so we'll keep a keen eye on that one. I did feel that we'd been lacking a little bit in some, not just us actually, I just feel like the coverage has just kind of slipped through the net a little bit over the last couple of days. So happy to go and shine a light on it, and hopefully we will do it again soon. Thanks again to Div. The last 7 Celtic number ones, Hart, Barkas, Boric, you've got, give me one guess each.
I'm struggling.
Ulrich. No, it's just the, no,
I think you're overthinking this, if I'm being honest.
No,
you in particular are overthinking this.
Oh, I've got one right down there. Sorry, Forster.
Yes, Fraser Forster. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers, hopefully.
Why are you scrambling? You've got it written down.
I've not got it in front of me here.
when we return. We've got something else to tell you about though before we go any further. How do you fancy getting involved in this year's Kilt Walk? We'd love you to do it for Cash for Kids. We've got spaces available for the big stroll, Saturday the 25th, Sunday the 26th of April. Starts at Clyde Bank, finishes at Balloch, as well as the wee wander around Balloch on the Sunday. You know what's interesting? You get the gaffer, Mark Wilson, always does this. It'll be interesting to see if he's too busy now.
He traps up
for his charitable exploits. That's a real test of character.
He loves hill walking. His day's off now. He goes up Monroe's.
Well, let's see what he's made of then.
Yeah.
He can make some business calls when along the way. 25th and 26th of April.
He'll be there, surely.
I'd like to think so. You can get your code for your free place at clyde1.com/cashforkids or by emailing westscotland@cashforkids.org.uk. Get your kilt, your boots on, help out Cash for Kids. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us on the home straight. Mm-hmm. Almost out of time, but still an opportunity for you to call. No doubt about that. So don't be put off. We can fit it in no problem on 0141 951 1025. The teaser tonight is with thanks to Raphael in Helensburgh and Arcoplan Glasgow as well. It's a topical one with Kasper Schmeichel announcing his injury last night. Can you name the last seven players to wear the number one for Celtic? Joe Hart, Vasilios Barkas, Fraser Forster and Arthur Boric. You've got four down and three to get.
I get mixed up and I don't think it's right, but Magnus Hedman.
It is not right.
Good show that.
Ulrik Larsson, Magnus Hedman, very
well,
similar.
He's a goalie.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you
he's
that.
He's got a set of gloves.
I'll give you that.
Craig Gordon?
Yes.
Nice.
There nice
tea. Two to get. We'll hopefully get them before the end. Might as well just finish where we started and give you the full time score. Was it 7-2?
Yep.
Barcelona, Newcastle. Whoa. It's an unforgiving level of football competition, isn't it?
Newcastle on their bad side, but that front three of Barcelona, the boy Rafinha, he's.
It could have been worse as well.
There was a lot of it. Did you see Yamal's chance just before half time? Missed it for 5 yards.
Dear, oh dear. Right, that's enough for that anyway. Let's get back to the bread and butter. Jim is a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, Jim?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
What are you thinking?
I think there's a danger. Looking at social media and some of the things that have been said, there's a danger of Schmeichel being made a scapegoat for the full season. At the end of the day, three managers have actually picked him. He must have been doing all right in training, so the injury must have been known evident in training. Stevie Woods must have thought he was performing well. And overall, I think he's been a decent keeper. And you'd mentioned one of the games, like the cup final, you know, one of the mistakes he's made. But Maeda was right through in the goal in the last minute. Maybe he's gone, you know, that cost us the cup final as well.
That's the life of a goalkeeper, though, isn't it?
I know. But I would hate to think that he's. To me, I wish him well, and I hope he gets through it and manages to play again if that's what he wants to do. And I think overall he's been a decent keeper. He has made mistakes this season, but see, at the end of the day, how many points has it actually cost us? Where other players have made mistakes and cost us points as well. Yeah. Trusty being one of them.
I think there's room for Jim's balance.
Yeah.
And then what we said there, that is just the problem of being a goalkeeper as well. So you sort of juggle that. He's not been Celtic's only issue this season.
Not at all. We obviously had a caller on Jack Butland, and keepers make mistakes. I think the thing for me is that he makes a valid point. I said this earlier on, that the management team consistently picked this guy. And I'm under no illusions that they knew that he had some sort of an issue with his shoulder, and they thought they could manage it. And unfortunately, it's caught up with him, and it catches up with us all. And ultimately, this injury is going to probably curtail his career, which is a really sad ending towards the end of it. But
What I'm saying is, when you
figure out the first season he comes, he's a late replacement, if you like. He's like for Joe Hart, and he comes in and wins a double.
I said that earlier. We definitely got loads of calls, and search it. You can search it on Twitter, X, whatever you call it. We had a lot of people saying it was an upgrade on Joe Hart. So, you know, I don't think we should rewrite that.
You
disagree with that?
I think
honestly, go back to then. Everybody said that he was as good a goalkeeper, and he was better with his feet.
I think if you put the careers next to each other, Joe Hart's had a better career.
No, I'm talking about
but
Celtic.
At the time, yeah, hindsight's brilliant for us. But no, I think it was maybe not an upgrade, but maybe a seamless transition. It could have been exceed, but Joe Hart, the way he's conducted himself compared to Schmeichel, it helps, but Schmeichel's no a bad keeper. He's been injured. That's what's killed him this year and maybe last. But no, I
see the notion, Jim, that you said though about, you know, managers kept picking them and you must have been doing quite well. Is there a potential there though? That it's harder to drop somebody like Kasper Schmeichel, ultimately. You know, that's what you get. That's the downside. Massive name, massive reputation, big character, that you can be hesitant to change that player.
I would hope that it would be based on how he's actually performing, you know, and if he needs dropped, he needs dropped. Because it's not just... The thing that gets me, it's not just one manager. You know, it's the three of them. I know he's got a bit, but yeah, he obviously has got the reputation, but and I still think it's been overemphasised, the mistakes and how many points he cost. I've seen somebody that said it cost us about 20 goals this season. No chance. Nowhere near
that does seem extreme.
No, that's not.
By the way, people do this the other way around when they say a good goalkeeper's worth an extra 20 points a season, and it's not. It never is. It's never that high. Again, I don't know, is the truth in the middle? Because if you know, Jim's right, strikers miss chances, but the Aberdeen one, it was a really poor mistake, that.
Yeah.
It's a cross that he somehow, yeah, you know, puts behind. I think Mikey Moore, Stuttgart, I feel like they were quite big errors.
See, the thing is, Gordon, I actually think Schmeichel would have been really, really disappointed, because I would imagine his standards are at a decent level, and to concede goals like that. And as I said to you, it comes a point where you think to yourself, I'm getting towards the end of the road here. And he's just tried to drag it out to the summer, because the stakes at the end of the summer with the World Cup. And don't forget, they're still playing for a double at Celtic as well. So there's so much to play for between now and potentially retiring in the summer.
What did we say? We looked it up at one of the breaks. Is he nine Denmark caps behind his old man?
That'll hurt him the most, I think. I think he knows he's not going to win the World Cup. Yeah. His heart's probably in Denmark rather than with the national team, rather than Celtic. I think that one will hurt him the most. I think that's maybe the only way we'll see Kasper Schmeichel.
But then the Celtic fans again won't want to hear that he was more interested in Denmark. That's what you're saying.
I think that one will hurt him the most. Yeah.
You happy enough with Jim? Or then back to flip that, if you want to stick up for Schmeichel, has Sinisalo's form been over exaggerated the other way, or you've been impressed with him?
No, I think he's done well. I think he's done well when he's come in. So I'm quite happy going forward. I think he'll take us to the manager mostly, but with looking after the squad, he'll take us to, I'm quite confident, the league title on that because of the manager. And I think Sinisalo will be a good part of it because he is a very good keeper.
Good man. Thank you very much. That was Jim in Bells Hill. Probably the final caller would be some ask to squeeze another in. The next game, though, we've got in Scotland, is the big one. Top of the Championship, you boys taking on St Johnstone. Well, Tony will be watching, injured, ice pack on hamstring. Yeah. What are you thinking?
Listen, we're looking forward to it. I think most of it, from a player's point of view as well, Gordon, you're on the TV, so that'll be picked up as well from that. So I think we're all looking forward to it. We have a particularly good home record. We've obviously, it's been well documented with injuries, but I don't think we will be using that in any shape or form. We will be looking to try and get maximum points and then try and claw back some ground on St Johnstone, who you have to say has been excellent this season. You know, they've invested in January as well with some big name players, and but ultimately we need to go and try and take the game to them.
I'm maybe a wee bit daft, but I'm not that daft to think that either of you two will say it's over if you don't win. You'll also know that will be the narrative from the outside, I think, probably just looking at the points. Yeah. How do you sort of handle that?
Oh, listen, we'll have to contend with whatever comes, whether we win or whether, you know, the result doesn't go away. And the one thing about this group of players, Gordon, we don't lose a lot of games, you know, so we're in a good shape. And I've mentioned this many, many times, we have a group of boys that are absolutely brilliant. And it's not just that, we were talking about it off air with the surroundings round about the Peter Hill and all that as well. So everyone's united and trying to get this team up.
Good, we're all looking forward to it. We wish you well. Let's finish off that teaser. The last seven number ones for Celtic: Hart, Barkas, Gordon, Forster, Boric. It's the two furthest back. So where are we going? Back to
early 2000s?
Yeah, in late 90s.
Late 90s.
Early 2000s.
90s, Rab Douglas, and who would the other one been?
Who have you smashed a ball?
Not before him. He'd have been down in England at these points.
So, Celtic goalkeeper. Marshall.
Yes.
Oh.
Gordon Marshall. And nice. Then after.
Used to cut my hair big, Mass. That's how I remember him. Yes, yes.
Must have been a quick shift.
But no, it was back in the day when I'd hair like you, and it was a fiver in the local barbers, and he would charge you £4.
Nice.
Inflation.
It was all heart.
What about after that? One more.
Marshall.
You said him.
No, I was doing over now, David. Marshall.
David Marshall. No, not David. No, he didn't wear number one.
Okay.
I'll let you put you out your misery. Jonathan Gould.
Gouldie.
Thank you, Alex Ray and Tony Watt. Back tomorrow at 6. Have a good one.